May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So yesterday we had our day of service here at St. Andrew's, and there were about 80 of us who met downstairs in the parish hall with these production lines, and we produced 12,500 meals to give away to the United Way to be distributed to people in need. And we're on this production line, and we all had to wear these very sexy hats on our head. And afterwards, a number of people came up to you and said, "Hey, Adrian, why don't you wear yours tomorrow when you give your sermon?" I tell you, I have far too much dignity to do such a thing. I find that the Lord speaks to me in the most unlikely settings, and it makes life really exciting because I never know when I'm going to hear the voice of Christ speaking to me. And it just makes every day kind of a new day because I don't know quite what's going to happen. And recently, I've been finding God has really been speaking to me through an unlikely setting. The pages of the Wall Street Journal. And in particular, in the Book Review column, the Daily Book Review column, I found that the voice of Jesus has spoken to me through the columns of the Book Reviews a number of times in the latter half of this year. And I've spoken about a couple of the books that have really, I've really felt Jesus kind of speaking deeply to me. But there's a book I've read more recently that I found deeply profound and has really kind of really touched me. And I thought of this book as I was looking at the gospel reading earlier this week. Now, in one sense, the reading, the meaning of it is very straightforward, and Jesus says what it's about. It's about the fact that this judge who has nothing but contempt for everyone around him and is completely self-centered, if he will grant justice to this widow because she keeps bothering him, how much more will God, who we know is ever-loving, grant us our needs? And I believe that this is deeply true. I believe that God does listen to us and does answer our prayers, but not always. Not always in the way that we ask the prayers to be answered. And there's no doubt in my mind that we either have or will experience Good Friday moments in our lives when we feel that God is absent from us, when we don't hear the voice of Jesus, when we feel we're alone. But the message of Easter and the resurrection is that while we may experience those moments, God is faithful to us. And it's the foundation of my own faith that God is ultimately there. But this is not what I want to preach about today. What really caught my eye in the gospel reading was this selfishness and this contempt felt by this judge in the reading. That's what really caught my imagination. And as I was saying last week in my sermon, I've begun to read the scriptures in a new way recently, and that is that I focus on the worst character in the story, and I identify myself with that person. Because I know that I'm a fallen human being like all of us are, and I know that every baddie in a gospel story speaks to that part of me that is fallen. And so I was hearing this story about this judge being bothered by this woman. He keeps coming and coming to her. And it made me think about sometimes the way that I operate the rector's discretionary account here, which is, you know, the fund that I have to give to poor people when they come and ask for help. And, you know, there are days when I'm super busy, you know, doing all kind of St. Andrew's stuff, and I get phone calls from all over Boston asking for money. And there are times when I'm thinking, look, I'm too busy to deal with this. But this, you know, particular individual might read me three or four or five times asking for some money. And I think, for God's sake, here's your money. Just leave me alone. I've got important stuff to do. But then also, I also thought, you know what? There are also some people who just bother me because of who they are. And I thought, you know, there's some work I've got to do around that spiritually because, you know, I've got to ask myself, why is it that so-and-so bothers me? And what is that saying about myself and the need that I need to have to do some spiritual work around that. But this isn't what I want to preach about either. What I want to preach about is this fabulous book. It's about one of my heroes, Adam Smith, and it's called Our Great Purpose, Adam Smith on Living a Better Life, and it's by a professor at BC. You know who Adam Smith is? Raise your hand if you know who he is, so I get a sense. Yeah, most of us know who he is. So Adam Smith was an 18th century Scottishman. He was a professor at the University of Glasgow, and he is the father of modern capitalism. He wrote that famous book, The Wealth of Nations, in that auspicious year of 1776. And the connection with our reading is that, you know, Smith talked about the way a nation should maximize its material well-being through modern-day capitalism. And he said that the cornerstone of modern-day capitalism was selfishness, was the idea that as individuals, by being selfish in our interactions with each other, we actually maximized the material well-being of a society. And I have to tell you, I am a great believer in Smith, and I think he's right. It's not that it's a human system. So just like any human being, just like I'm a fallen human being, you know, because it's a human system, it is fallen and it is not perfect. And we all understand that. No human system is perfect. But I have an enormous admiration for Smith in this idea that selfishness maximizes our material well-being. But he wrote another book, which is not so well known as The Wealth of Nations. It's called The Theory of Moral Sentiments. And Smith, above all, he was an ethicist, and he was a Christian, and his job was around Christian ethics. And he wrote this other book, and this is what this book is about. This is a beautiful, beautifully written book. It's only 137 pages long, and the chapters are only 4 pages long. So it's, and each one has a quote from Smith, and then an explanation under the quote, and then he goes on to write about it. And what Hanley, the author, writes is that while Smith agreed that to maximize our material well-being, we needed to be selfish, and to be as rich as we could, we needed to be selfish. He said that there was more to life than material well-being. And he argues in his other book, The Theory of Moral Sentiments, that there is a better life that we're called to live. He said there's something higher that we're called to than being rich. He said that by being rich, we will gain attention from other people. And we like gaining attention from other people. We like being the center of attention. He said there's something we want more than that, and that is to be beloved. He said this is the path of true human happiness, to be beloved. And he argued that to be beloved, we need to love others ourselves. To be loved ourselves, we need to reciprocate through love. And above all, we need to show that belovedness in our care for those in need. He actually argues in The Theory of Moral Sentiments that while it may be true that we want to maximize our material well-being, we need to be selfish. He said all of us live in a community and in a context, and our approach to material well-being should always be within that context, and particularly those in need. But he also argued that this is the path to happiness. It's the kind of thing you'd expect Jesus to say. But how surprising it is when it's the father of modern capitalism says that. Doesn't God speak to us in surprising and unexpected ways? Amen.
Amen.